Good morning and welcome to the Project Joy Radio Show. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini. Is today Monday or Tuesday? Is it morning or afternoon? Oh my gosh, it all runs together, doesn't it?
Yeah, I'm just going to introduce good news update.
Right? Oh dear.
Exactly. Busy morning. Anyway. Shall I start off with our assignment?
Oh, yes,
Friday,
please.
Saturday, and Sunday?
Yes, please.
So here we go. My computer is not cooperating. So our Friday appointment, assignment was, how far you go in life depends on your being tender with the young, compassionate with the aged, sympathetic with the striving, and tolerant of the weak and strong. Because someday in life, you will have been all of these. When we listen to conditioning, we believe there are some ways we are and other ways that we're not. We're fooled because we're not paying attention. We're choosing beliefs over our experience. When we pay attention, we realize we are all those ways and more regularly. We can feel naive, depleted, energetic, ambitious, defeated, or capable in the course of a day. We recognize these states if we're present to what is rather than to what we're being told. Today, take some time to sit down and consider the truth of that statement. Make a commitment to practice being tender, compassionate, and sympathetic with you, regardless of how you're feeling. Record and listen. And then on Saturday, the most important things in life are to work and to love. Our version of that statement would be, the most important things in life are to participate and to love. We practice non-separation, to be at one with, to be with life, to be alive requires letting go all that separates us from life/love. Another way of saying, all that separates us from life/love is all that separates us from ourselves. Today, look for the many ways in which your life is in alignment with life/love. Record and listen. And then, happiness comes when your work and words are of benefit to yourself and others. We really must take that on faith, yes? How could we ever know? We can't know how our work or our words benefit others. Ah, but we can sense when our work and words benefit us. We can sense presence, a non-separate wholeness, and we can practice participating and speaking from that presence. Today, allow yourself to receive the benefit of all your efforts to participate from presence.
That's a lot of good stuff, isn't it?
It's a lot of good stuff. All right, here's our first caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Wow, I can't believe I got on first. This is Anne calling from the Bay Area.
How are you?
Hi, Anne.
Well, I am fantastic, and I just have to say hello, Sherry, hello, Ashwini, hello, everybody at the monastery listening, and hello to everybody in the Sangha listening, because I feel like I'm connected to everybody.
So, if I may, you were at the retreat last week.
Yes.
And that just ended minutes ago. And part of that experience is being in the meditation hall with everybody who's there at the monastery listening to this,
yeah.
Right? And then connecting with people from all over the world as that's happening.
Yes.
And I understand it's a pretty powerful and fun experience.
And what a wonderful example of participation and love. How do you like that? Tying it into
Yeah, bringing it back. Very good, very good.
Bringing it back. I know I said this to you, but I just want to say to everybody, here's what I wish for everybody who signed up for Project Joy, is that they will get themselves to the monastery to have the experience of listening to the call in the meditation hall. It is the best. Because then, now, every time I listen to the call from, I was there before earlier this year, but I was there on a weekend, so I didn't get to participate in the call. And now, every time I call in, and listen, I'm going to just be sitting there with everybody in the meditation hall.
Mm-hmm.
Energetically, you know. Not actually. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes, I do. Yeah. People talk about that with open air, sitting out on the west porch. A lot of people have wonderful memories of sitting out on the west porch listening to the open air show. So, yeah, being with Sangha. It's the best,
now
isn't
I'm
it?
Gonna have to now I'm going to have to imagine that when I'm listening to the Ready Show, because I've had that experience. So, wow.
See there?
So, anyway,
we're never far away.
No, we aren't. We aren't, and participation is just the best, and that's it. That's all I have to say.
Aha. So, participation and love, you're right there.
I am right there, and you know, it's possible because everybody's participation makes everybody's participation possible. So it's just wonderful, and deep gut show to everyone.
And to you, Anne. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Anne.
Just before we go on, you and I and some others had a little experience of that yesterday afternoon. After we left the retreat, we came down to do the little first showing of the new center in Mountain View, and the lovely people who gathered there to begin to build that, to participate and love in that venue. So now we're going to have, and people talked about being there on Tuesday nights listening to open air together. So we'll have another meditation hall in which people are participating locally and globally in that way.
Mm-hmm. Well, yes. And I love that experience of non-separateness that all those quotes were pointing out to, that just because I'm here and I'm not there doesn't mean that the sense of connection doesn't exist.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
So
that participation.
No, you go ahead.
Oh, that participation is being part of that showing up. And when we show up and have the experience of showing up in that place of connection, then no matter what the place is, we are still connected.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. I think that's what Anne was pointing at, and the experience that that we had yesterday and on retreat, and that when we participate, then it's our actual experience of non-separation. Because, because in our hearts and our minds, we're with Sangha wherever Sangha is and wherever we are.
And I do love what both you and Anne were pointing at, but it requires us to do that, right? To call in, to put ourselves in the queue, to go to the monastery and pull weeds and stack wood, because that act of participation is what assists us to get out of the abstract concept of belonging in the head or not belonging, and actually to know and embody that experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 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 So good.
So good. Well, here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Well, hi, this is Christina from Southern California.
Wow.
The last time I was on Project Joy, I followed Anne as well, and we were on our way to the monastery. So now we're both home, and I follow her again on the call. I just find that amusing.
So what have you been seeing?
So much, and I think I'll go to what the Friday quote, how in one day you can experience all of life, and you know you can experience a whole lifetime. And when you're at the monastery in particular, that it's like everything's in relief, and so you can see it all, and it's so powerful. And yet, because you're in such a loving place, at least that's the projection, you know, you're in this safe, beautiful, compassionate, loving place, it's like you can watch it all without taking it personally and knowing that you're okay. And the specific thing that happened on Friday with Friday's quote was we were doing art in the evening, and I was really excited and happy and feeling energetic, and then I had this intense pang of missing my kids, and partly because I was doing artwork around them, and or for them, or you know, with them, however you want to say it, and there was that right away that tendency to, well, right now you're having fun, it's not the moment to feel that, and I was like, why not? I was intensely missing them. And I was overcome by that. And so I stepped outside the dining hall, I grabbed a tissue, stepped outside, found a chair, and I sobbed for, I don't know, a minute. And I just let it out. I let myself feel it. And, you know, I was able to show that tenderness to whatever it was that was feeling that loss. And maybe it was even being framed as loss. It's kind of hard to say. And
could it be a spirit connection,
okay.
Huh?
Say that again?
It could have been connection.
It could have been connection, right. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is hard to say, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't matter. And then it passed, and I was, you know, right back into the dining hall, to the art, and I was back in that place of, you know, confidence and happiness, and, you know, and mm-hmm. it's just so incredible to have that movement take place and all of it to be okay and none of it to mean anything.
Yes, it's just what is.
Yeah,
that you know, we say that kind of thing, and people will try to translate it through conditioned mind. Well, yeah, it is what is. But to have an experience of, no, this direct experience that is happening right now, it doesn't mean anything. It is just this direct experience of now. That's it.
Yes. Yes.
And as you're pointing, you're there in one place. This energy moves through. You're there in that place. Here, we could say, it occurs to you to walk outside. You walk outside. You have that experience. You come back in. You have that experience. There's no need to go up into your head, right, to think about any of it, or even as we're looking at, even to label it.
Yeah.
It doesn't need a label, right? You're sobbing. It doesn't need a label, right? Now you're happy. It doesn't need it. It actually doesn't need a label,
right?
And you certainly don't need to know why.
Yes. And if there were any why to it, it was simply that I really feel like I needed in that moment to practice that it's okay to be whatever. Right? Because that's a place for me to really pay attention because, you know, mm-hmm. I try to pull myself in to do, you know, to be steady or be, you know, something other than whatever.
The way you are. God forbid that you should just be the way you are. Yeah.
Right.
Well, and have a sense of how constant that is. And that it robs us of being alive. Wouldn't you really rather? And one little commercial again for the monastery. It's a place for that to happen. Like nowhere else. Right? And so to be fully alive, that I can be eating my food and then I'm moved by this and now I'm sobbing and a minute later I'm completely and it's all part of being fully human.
Yeah. Yes. And for whatever reason, conditioning is very afraid of that, and it doesn't like
Ooh.
It.
No. Well, and we know the reason.
Yeah.
We know the reason. Because in that, why would you need to be in your head? Why would you need to be analyzing and thinking about, and if are you being the right person or the wrong person, and should you this or should you that, and the past and the future and what it all means, and are you a good mother or a bad mother? Should you leave your kids to go on retreat? Because all of that conditioned mind stuff, there's no point in it. And you can
yes.
see that.
Yes. Yep.
So ego, of course, is, you know, flipping out over there. You can't just be the way you are.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, all of it. Yeah. And it's
so good, isn't it?
So good. So good. And the workshop just continues.
Good.
I could
good.
Talk all day. I'm going to let it go. But I will be in touch.
All right. Good. Thanks, Christina.
Thank you.
Thank you, Christina. It's so true, isn't it, Sherry, that it just simply is what it is. I was looking at Dogen this morning and struggling to understand firewood is not ash and ash doesn't turn, you know, the way Dogen says these things. And it's just what you were talking about with Christina. What is here is just here in this moment. And it's only the conditioned process that tries to create a narrative and meaning around two things that are not connected. And if we could step out of that process and just be here, we experience the vitality of being alive.
Yes. And what that process that you just described, of course, is in service to, is maintaining the fiction that there is a way we should be that we are not.
Yes.
And that is such a perfect example of the illusion of a parallel reality. And it is an illusion. If we can get it, that there is no other way for me, for you, for Christina, for any of us, there is no way for us to be other than this. This is it. And this is our best opportunity to see clearly how life works.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, how life Ooh. Works.
Whew. There's a girl
yes.
chills.
And so, yes. Here's
and probably
caller.
A boy. Yeah, okay.
Here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Well, hello, Ashwini and Sherry. I'm taking a walk in the forest and didn't expect to get unmuted, but it's perfect. So happy.
Good.
And
yeah. Who is this?
It's Kim. It's Kim calling from Vashon Island, literally
hello,
in the woods. Hello, and I'm calling to report on non-separation. About 3 weeks ago, I called into Open Air, and Jen, we talked about this 10-mile race I was going to run and how ego was getting all over me because I hadn't trained properly, and as ego would say. And so Jen's encouragement was to, every step of the way, be with myself, checking in. Are you okay? Is this okay? How are you feeling now? So I got myself to the race on Saturday and did the race and finished the race, and the whole race was a huge workshop on non-separation. And, you know, at some point...
Were you there with her?
What was that?
Were you there with her?
I was there with her the whole time, and I was saying to her, how you doing? How is this? And then at some point, you know, what came in was, it's me racing me here, and everybody who passes me is me, and everybody who finishes in front of me is me, and everybody who finishes behind me is me.
Aha! Uh-huh. Wow. How was that?
That was so fun. And, of course, that kind of came and went, you know, with ego going, oh, who's that passing you now? And, oh, that person.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, it was just, it made the runner's high even higher. You know, just
right.
like, well, there goes me. again, tossing me, go, me, you know, it was just, oh, us.
Uh-huh.
So it was fun.
You could be so happy. You could be so happy for all of you, huh?
I was happy for all of us, and it was a joyful, mm-hmm. beautiful day, and it was a great, great workshop, and ego conditioning didn't stop me from doing it, which was kind of what was going on,
yeah.
3 weeks ago.
Yeah, it lost that race in a big way.
Yeah.
And that's fine, because that's not you, and so that's all right.
That's all right. So that's my report, and thank you, Ashwini. Thank you, Sherry, so much. I have to just put in one little thing, and that is that my mom has started listening to the archives of Open Air, my 77-year-old mom, and we have so much to talk about now. It's just so exciting.
Oh, my gosh, Kim.
Yes.
That is wonderful. So now you can have little Dharma talks.
Oh, it's incredible. I don't understand. I don't even want to understand how, but it's just, it's amazing that it is.
Uh-huh. And what it's opening up for her and for the two of you.
It brings us so close.
Yeah. Oh, that's a great tip. You know, there might be an awful lot of parents and children or siblings or all kinds of relationships where that would be a possibility for two people. And as you say, you have so much then to talk about that isn't what conditioning would like to talk about.
It's incredible. And she loves you, Sherry, and she loves Michael, you know, and it's just so funny. I love, you know, I just love hearing their voices, and I don't always agree with what they say, but, you know, and I just listen to them.
Yeah.
So. Anyway, I want you guys to have more people come on, but thank you so much.
Thank you, Kim. That's great. Congratulations to
you
and her and all the rest of yous.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye, Kim. Oh, that just gave me such chills, Jerry. It so did. I mean, that's it, right? That's the Gandhi quote of seeing God in the next person you meet. And to know that everybody is the same essence, every single person.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, and to have that as an experience of what animates me.
Yes.
That is animating everyone else. Wow.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And just to carry that on a little minute, Ashwini, to have that experience, to have that clarity, and then to have a sense of all that's ever going on with any of us is that we are more or less in touch with that truth.
Yes.
That the same goodness is the same intelligence, however you want to talk about it, is animating all of us, and we are throughout the way the one quote went throughout the day. We may be very in touch with that, or so far away from it that it's not even in our consciousness, right? Mm-hmm. And that everybody else is in the same process.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So the person who cuts you off in traffic or waves at you with unfortunate gestures or whatever it is, the person who's rude in the restaurant, we instead of going to that place of how could they, we know how they could because we watch ourselves be in those same kinds of unconscious, unfortunate places and ways. And in that way, as Kim is describing, all those me's running around, we don't have to lose sight of the essence, the source mm-hmm. that's animating all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if I might reflect what you said, at any moment we're either closer or farther away or closer in touch or less in touch is, I think,
yes.
the words you use with that intelligence,
yes.
with that light,
yes.
with what animates us. And that
yes.
when we recognize in ourselves, the place of being, I mean, we lose touch with it when we react in that way towards someone else who is not in, not as much in touch as we would wish to be. And that's that non-separate place, right?
Yes.
That I went to the same place that other person did. And I know that because I've had that experience. And so we move closer to that light place when we move towards compassion towards the other person and in some sense to ourselves.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just in that quiet, oh God, I know that place. Yeah.
Yes. Well, and what I saw sharing that me thing is the that not only are we the same intelligence that animates, we're also experiencing the me's, the real, the illusions of selves separate from that light source all the time, and that is also a source of non-separation.
Yes.
Because we recognize that.
Yes. Yes, we have to be in non-separation to see the process of separation that we all, the illusion of separation that we all fall into.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's very good. It's very helpful.
Yes. Well, I think we have time for one more caller. So here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
This is Laura.
Hey, Laura.
Hey, Laura.
I don't even know where to start. So with 4 minutes.
Well, I'll tell you something. As you consider it, you sound a whole heck of a lot better than the last time I heard you. Are you feeling better?
Well, it's been a workshop. We're going on week three, and I definitely am better, and I still feel really depleted. And sorry, I'm getting into a quiet space. So it's so interesting. Part of my commitment is that I put myself in the queue no matter what. And I was praying today not to get chosen, which is what it was so interesting to watch because, like, I don't want ego just doesn't want the vulnerability to be seen. I feel like I haven't been in this part of the dark room, like, since I entered practice. Like, it's really bad. I was able to write I feel like the getting sick just pushed me over the edge, but I've just been kind of hanging on I feel like there's been real strength and strong practice, and then I just the only thing that's different is that I'm listening to the voices I'm believing it, and that they basically, I just feel like I've been completely hijacked, and I mean, God, the thoughts that have run through my mind the last few days have just been, I mean, scary feels a little dramatic because it's not like I would ever do anything, but I can't believe the thoughts that are running through my mind. And so I'm really humbled, you know, by like, oh my gosh, you know, and so yeah, it's been a really difficult time.
So several things about that. One, you can certainly relate to that last conversation, right?
Yes.
We don't have to ever ask ourselves, what is the matter with that person? We know exactly, in quotes, what's the matter with that person. Right, they're stuck in a really dark place, in a dark room, and they're listening to voices and they're believing them. And of course, the good thing, life in its infinite wisdom and compassion, you kept your commitment to be in the queue, and then you did get picked, even though ego is praying that you don't. Right, and so you put this out, and then it doesn't have that to hold against you. It won't be able to get you to be in quite such a dark place or feel like you can't say anything or let anybody know what's happening, because you just proved to yourself that, in fact, you can.
Yes.
Which is a very, very good thing. Yeah. And, you know, again, in Western awareness practice, people take up these phrases like dark night of the soul. That gets to be what you call, you know, when you just sort of stumble a little or step in a hole or, you know, you're having a hard time in life. And people don't realize that what's being pointed at there is when, you know, I've been saying this more than usual lately, and I hope people know that what I mean by the devil. it is that those thoughts, what's saying those things in your head, it's the devil, right? I mean, it's such a dark force that we recognize it is a force on its own. It's not you. It has the ability. It's not us. It has the ability to get us to identify with ego in such a way that we'll be open to it and we'll believe it and we'll get pulled into it and that sort of thing. When we have been practicing and we know the light room, we know what's possible for us, we know what practice can do, and then we get pulled into such a dark place that it seems that we could believe, you know, if we were Christians or any theistic religion, you would have lost your faith in God, or God would have abandoned you or deserted you, or all of those kinds of images that people use, because it's so barren and hopeless and all of those kinds of things. And to be pulled into that when we know, in essence, that it's not real is truly alarming, as I don't have to explain to you. I'm really now talking to everybody who might not yet have had that experience. And we all will.
Yeah.
The thing that I would encourage you and anyone else in is that system can only do what it can do. It can do its worst, and that's the worst that it can do. It actually cannot continue to get worse and worse and worse. And usually when it comes at us like this, it's because it realizes how in danger it is, how close the person is to not believing it. So you get a combination like sick and depleted energy and all kinds of things going on in life, and put those together, and we're in that vulnerable place where the devil can whisper in our ears, shout, threaten us, and we don't have the reserves to fight back. However, what you have and what you've proved to yourself you have is the presence to continue.
Yeah.
Right? Or we wouldn't be having this conversation. So even though it did everything that it could do to isolate you and to make you believe that it was the only reality, you didn't believe it. You may have been miserable in the process. I don't doubt that, because it's a truly hideous process. But you did not give in. You did not give up.
No.
And that's your strength. That's what you're proving to yourself. You will not give up.
No, I won't. I won't. Mm-hmm. So I'm so grateful to the participation piece of it around staying connected, because it feels like if I didn't have the commitment to to participate, I might slip into an abyss.
Yes, exactly. So it would isolate you, and that would be that. Doesn't mean you couldn't come to in a year or 5 years or 10 years.
Yeah.
But all the hell.
I'd rather not take the risk
in between. No, you don't want to. No, we don't want to take the risk. And that's why with this, we make the commitment. I'm going to be in the queue. I'm going to participate. I'm going to show up. If I am
you know, Christina was a good role model with that, right? You know,
yeah.
if you're sobbing, then you just sob, and then you go on to the next thing. But above all, we let go that notion that those voices can turn us into the person we should be, and then we'll be all right. So instead, it's just, this is how I am. This is how it is. I'm showing up.
So,
and
thank you.
And this is a safe place to do that. Practice is a safe place to do that, which is why, of course, the voices want to talk us out of practice. But Sangha
yeah.
is a safe place. We can show up in the way we are. And there are going to be folks there who are going to help us walk through that.
Mm.
All right.
Well, like Anne,
well, take
thank
care
you
of yourself.
To everyone. I will.
Thank you. Okay.
Bye.
Thanks, Laura. And that brings us to the end of the show, Sherry. And here's the assignment for today.
All right.
Happiness is a thing to be practiced, like the violin. We have all learned countless skills throughout our lives, from rolling over as tiny babies to walking, reading, playing sports, driving vehicles, and so many others. We've mastered these skills by practicing them. Yet when it comes to practicing something non-physical, something like happiness or presence, we're conditioned to believe that ability is something we don't possess, but we do. Directing attention is a skill, just like riding a bicycle or baking a cake. And what we direct attention to can just as easily be happiness as anything else. Today, when you realize you're practicing paying attention to something other than happiness, practice your ability to turn your attention back to happiness. Look or and listen.
Wow. All right. Let's do that.
Yes, let's do that. Yeah.
All right. Thank you so much,
right.
Ashwini.
Thank you, Sherry, and we'll talk to everybody tomorrow. Treasure yourselves.
And go happy.
And go happy.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.